couple people help me with the communion and we'll celebrate the sacrifice of our Lord. Paul told us to discern the body of Christ. And that literally we're going to have to look at that bread and see Jesus' sacrifice. Here's something a lot of people need to get a revelation of. God's not looking at you. His eyes are always on you, but when he sees you through the sacrifice of his Son. In the Old Testament, when somebody took a sacrifice to the altar for their sins, God looked at the sacrifice. He didn't look at the man no more, he looked at the sacrifice. If the sacrifice was acceptable, the man was acceptable. Jesus, our sacrifice, our perfect sacrifice, went to that altar. When God's dealing with you, he's looking at Jesus. He's looking at that perfect sacrifice. This bread represents the body of Christ. If you'll notice that this bread, it's called matzah bread, and it's made without yeast. Yeast is significant of sin. The body of Christ is and was completely without sin. He never sinned once. That's why he was a perfect sacrifice. If you look at this bread, you'll notice that it's been beaten and bruised. The Bible tells us that Jesus was beaten and bruised for us. And in this bread there's stripes. And the Bible tells us that by his stripes we were healed. And this bread has been pierced. Everywhere Jesus' body was pierced, he shed blood. And everywhere he shed blood, we get redemption in some area. Also in this bread is slightly burned. If you look at it, you'll see that it's slightly burned. That means the full wrath of God's fiery judgment, the judgment that was meant for us, was laid on Jesus when he was on that cross. Now we're taking this for our healing and our well-being, and we thank you for it, Father. That blood of Jesus is the only blood that never died. The blood of Jesus is still alive. And it's still working. And it's still doing what God intended it to do. That blood of Jesus is still liquid. Our blood, have you noticed when we bleed? Our blood dries up because it has death in it. It has sin in it. The blood of Jesus had no sin in it, so his blood is still alive and it's still washing away our sins. It's still continually washing away our sin. The blood of Jesus has made us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus so that we can boldly go into God's presence and receive grace and mercy in our times of need. We can go into his presence as though nothing ever happened because you've been justified freely by his grace. You must understand this. In order to be justified, you must first be judged. But now you've been justified. The minute God raised Jesus back to life, you were justified. And now you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We thank you for this. All right. Open your Bibles up to Acts chapter 3. We've been studying in the book of Acts about different things that the Holy Spirit does to you and through you. We've already found out that He changes the way you hear. He changes the way you speak. He even changes the way you look. Here's a cool thing about the anointing of God. The anointing of God has the ability to change people in such a way that wrinkle creams could go away. Ladies, I found your fountain of youth right here. The anointing. The anointing of God took a 90-year-old woman and made her beautiful in the Pharaoh's eyes. Made her so pretty that he was going to bring her into his harem. But then God said, you better leave that one alone. Because Abraham said, well, she's my sister. She was his sister. But she was also his wife. That sounds kind of weird, don't it? But the anointing changed her into a beautiful woman. Not only changed her into a beautiful woman, but the anointing actually made her vibrant and healthy enough to have a baby. That's how strong the anointing of God is. But I want you to look at Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. Evidently, they hadn't been delivered from temple worship yet. I want you to know this. Even though you don't get everything perfect, you don't get everything right, you make mistakes, I want you to know something, that the name of Jesus will still work for you. That the anointing of God is still present to work through you and for you. People get this idea in their head that if they make any little mistake, they got to start all over. If they make a mistake, then they got to, it just messes everything up. And then pretty soon, they get under so much condemnation till they're actually without effect in the kingdom. Because they think the mistakes they made, how could God use me? Has anybody ever been there? The mistakes I've made, how could God use me? You got to understand, the blood of Jesus took care of that. Amen? And it's still taking care of that. God can use you. You should look at that poster once in a while. I didn't put it up there just for a church decoration, but you should stop and read that poster often. It's not about you. It's about Him. Well, anyway, a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Now there's some interesting things about those verses right there. That man had been laid at that gate a lot. Do you know Jesus walked by that man? Well, why didn't Jesus just go ahead and heal him? Because the guy wasn't paying attention. The guy wasn't ready to receive healing. He was ready to receive an alms. That's how he made his living. But he wasn't ready to receive healing. Jesus could have healed him anytime. But the guy wasn't ready to receive. Peter and John show up. And the man who was expecting to receive something of them was looking at them. They said, look at us. Pay attention. Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So Peter and John walking up to the temple, and they see this guy, and this guy's expecting to receive an alms. They said, look at us, pay attention. Said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. Now, this sounds like they were broke, doesn't it? But basically, what Peter and John were saying, we don't have a theological degree. We don't have a scholarship from a fancy Bible school. We don't have a whole bunch of training. We don't have a whole bunch of talent. We don't have a whole bunch of money. The only thing we have is the only thing that will work, and that is the name of Jesus. Amen? Now, circle this next part. They said, in the name of Jesus Christ of heaven. No? That ain't what it says? That's the way a lot of the church acts. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. That means a man on this earth. A man on this earth. A righteous man on this earth. We know he was righteous because God was pleased with him. And he got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You know, Jesus never did one single miracle until he got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Not one. There's not one recorded miracle of Jesus in the Bible until after the Holy Spirit came upon him. The power of God. The power of God came on him in that anointing. See, Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And everybody said, Hallelujah! No, they didn't. They wanted to take him and throw him off a cliff. That's how mad people get over the anointing. Sometimes people get jealous of people when they see the anointing on them. Sometimes people just get mad when they see the anointing on somebody. Why not just say, hey, if that guy can get anointed, I can get anointed. Let's go on with it. But no. Well, we don't believe that way. I told a guy one time, I said, don't worry about it. You're not going to receive anything you don't believe. I said, don't waste any more of my time. And what was really mad, he was mad because I said, I've seen a lot of miracles in the name of Jesus. I've seen a lot of people get healed. I've seen a lot of people get delivered. A lot of amazing things. And he got mad. He said, who do you think you are? I said, well, I ain't nobody. It's the name of Jesus. And he was so mad because his doctrine didn't agree with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so he was so closed-minded on the subject that he couldn't, he's not going to receive it. Not everybody is going to celebrate the anointing. So just be aware of that. You may do something in public and somebody get healed or somebody get delivered and they say, well, that was God doing that. I said, well, of course it was. I didn't take credit for that. Yeah, but you prayed for him. Of course I did. So that's what Jesus said to do. Well, you know, it just drives people crazy sometimes. Religious people are some of the meanest people I've ever met in my life. Church people. I promise you, I spent a lot of time in the oil field, in the honky-tonks and all over, and I've never met anybody as mean as church people sometimes. Sometimes I'd rather take my chances in the oil field. But here's the deal. Peter said, the one thing I have is the one thing I can give you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Now most people say that and walk away hoping something happens. But he didn't do that. He said, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And then he put his money on the table and grabbed that guy by the hand and said, get up. And then the guy took off. What happens a lot of times is people don't want to look like a fool. They don't want to get embarrassed if something doesn't happen. So they're not really putting their faith in the name of Jesus. They're just saying something that sounds cool. Literally, Peter took the man by the hand and helped him receive what he believed. That's where the rubber meets the road. Believe in the name of Jesus. Now let's go on here. He took him by the right hand, lifting him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up and stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which was set for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man, which was healed, held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. Now here's the thing. It just irritates me. I've seen some miracles and seen some pretty cool stuff, and it just drives me nuts when I hear some pastors say, well, miracles don't cause faith to happen. And I said, well, I don't care. Here's what miracles do: cause wonder and amazement. What happened? It got somebody's attention. It got somebody's attention that wasn't looking for something in the first place. And you got to remember, natural people are led by their five natural senses. What they can see, touch, feel, hear, taste. They're not led by faith. They're led by their five natural senses. You have to invade their world with something they can see, touch, taste, feel, hear. You, who are led by the Spirit of God, which the world calls the sixth sense, but we know it's Holy Spirit, go out there and cause things to happen that shake people up. I don't often drop names, but I'm going to use Pete today. When I met Pete, my computer was broken beyond repair, as far as I could tell. So I went and asked somebody who could fix computers, and they said, "Ah, there's this blind guy over there, he can fix computers." And I thought, well, that makes sense. So I take my computer over there and I said, "Hey, can you fix this thing?" And he said, "Yeah." And so we're visiting and go along, and he said, "I'm an atheist." I said, "Okay." So we talk about computers. I don't know nothing about computers, but he fixes it. And I asked him how much he charged. He told me. So anyway, he called me the next day. He said, "Your computer's ready to go." So I go down there and I said, "How much do I owe you?" And he said, "Nothing." I said, "Okay. But I need you to go pray for my friend. Talk to my friend." So I thought, well, that makes sense. An atheist wants me to go do something for his friend. So we went over there and prayed for her. A couple weeks later, calls me up on the phone, said, "I got some more questions for you." So I went down there and prayed again. A couple weeks later, call on the phone, said, "I got some more questions for you." Go down there, pray for her. And he says, "Can I go to church at your church?" And I said, "Well, of course you can." He said, "I've never seen God do anything, but I seen that." Did you see what happened? That woman got off her bed. He seen that. He seen me do something. He heard me do something. And he started asking questions. That's what miracles, that's what stuff does. That's what happens when you go out into all the world and do something. And I didn't argue with him about anything, about religion. I just presented Jesus to him, and next thing I know, he's over here getting dunked. And then he got dunked. And then another one got dunked. And another one got dunked. We got another one to dunk. But that's what happens. But notice this guy that was leaping around, he was praising God. Jesus said, "Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, and the Father will get the glory." See, we don't have to be cool. We don't have to be talented. We don't have to really be much of nothing. Other than have the name of Jesus and believe that Jesus will do what he said he would do. And then go do what Jesus said. And watch Jesus and the Holy Ghost show up and show off. Here's the tricky part for people. They kind of go, man, wasn't that something? You're a fool. Don't ever do that. People will often try to thank me and they say, well, praise God. Sometimes they'll be insistent on thanking me. I say, well, praise God. He did it. Yeah, but you prayed. I said, well, yeah. But the Holy Spirit showed me what to say and do. Praise God. Why is that so hard? We're not that cool. Jesus is cool. I mean, that guy walked on water. He did a lot of stuff. And he's still doing a lot of stuff through his body, which is the people, the church. He's doing a lot of stuff through them when they pick up the name of Jesus and have enough guts to go out there and do something with it. Amen? Now, here's the thing. Peter's seen all these people with great amazement and wondering. In verse 12 said, when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, you men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we made this man to walk? That happens a lot. People will look to the pastor and say, man, that guy is cool. That guy is something else. And then that pastor will walk into that sacred circle where he is not supposed to be at all, ever, and start getting all the people looking at him. That's a bad, bad place. It's a bad, bad place to be. The fivefold ministry that Jesus established, and it's still relevant today, is the pastors, the prophets, the evangelists, the teachers, the apostles, all five of them, are supposed to be in a circle with the people. And Jesus is in the middle of that circle. And the fivefold ministry is supposed to be pointing the people to Jesus. Saying, see, Jesus did that. He may have done it through me, but Jesus did that. And he'll do it through you. As you get equipped and you start going out and doing the things that he calls you to do, he will do these things through you. He said he would. You got to keep pointing people to Jesus. Say, see, look, that's what Jesus did. Because he did do it. We don't get a notch in our belt when something happens. Jesus is the only one that could do that. Verse 13 says, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murder to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God has raised from the dead, wherever we are, where we are witnesses. Verse 16, circle this. And in his name, through faith in his name has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Now the faith which is by him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. There, Peter did the only right thing he could do. Everybody, you know, he said, when he ran into the man at the gate, he said, I don't have anything, silver and gold I don't have, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus. Rise up and walk. And the guy got up, took off. Jesus said it's going to be all about Jesus. Or Peter said it was going to be all about Jesus. And then all these people seen this happen, and they started running up there to Peter, and Peter said, no. It's not me. It's the name of Jesus. This man was made whole through faith in his name. It's the name of Jesus is everything. There is no salvation without the name of Jesus. There's no healing without the name of Jesus. There's no prosperity without the name of Jesus. There's nothing, absolutely nothing, without the name of Jesus. So now you can understand my irritation when a pastor in Texas that has thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people going to his church every Sunday. He's on national television. And I sat there and listened to him apologize for using the name of Jesus. Don't ever apologize for using the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is the only name that we are to use. We're to use the name of Jesus in prayer. We're to use the name of Jesus in healing. We're to use the name of Jesus for everything. We're to do everything in the name of Jesus. God put so much confidence in the name of Jesus. He said that he has given him the name which is above all names, that at the name of Jesus every knee must bow, of beings in heaven, of beings in earth, and beings under the earth. And that every knee will bow and call, that proclaim the name of Jesus, and every tongue shall confess the name of Jesus, and God will be glorified. The name of Jesus. If you ever get a chance to order a book, I mean, people read books, they buy all kinds of literature, they buy all kinds of stuff, read all kinds of sermons. If you want to read something that's going to change your life, order Kenneth Hagin's book called The Mighty Name of Jesus. Let all that other nonsense go off to the side. That man knew Jesus. That man knew the name of Jesus. I listened to him so much and read so much of his material, and I just grew from it, and I got so much revelation from it, and grew and grew and grew. And I couldn't hardly stand to listen to his voice. But the words were feeding me, deep into me. You just can't believe how much it irritated me when somebody said, you sound just like Kenneth Hagin. I thought, I don't have that voice. I said, no, you teach like him. I thought, well, there's not a chance. Like, they're not. I can't even come close to that. But can you? You can sound like somebody, you can teach like somebody. One of the greatest compliments you can ever give a Hebrew, you know, somebody who's really studying the Word of God, you know, like a studying to be a scribe or a Pharisee, who's studying under a master. Tell him, the dust of your master is on you. That means they can see his teaching in you. They can see his teaching coming through you. You know, some of the apostles were speaking one time in a city, and they were talking, and they got dragged before court, and these guys said, you know, we perceive that you have been with Jesus. What happened? They were talking like their master. They were doing things that they seen their master do. Well, Jesus did the same thing. He said, I only do what I see my Father do. I only say what my Father says. When you take this and you read it, you're just copycatting Jesus. You're doing exactly what you're supposed to do. Somebody one time got frustrated with me. They said, you cover so many scriptures. I said, well, I really don't have much to say. I don't have much to say. There's not much in me worth knowing. But this is the only thing we need. The Word of God. The name of Jesus. It doesn't get any simpler than that. You don't have to have a theological degree. In fact, sometimes I think seminary does more harm to people than it does good. I literally was witnessing to a whole bunch of Muslims one time, telling them about Jesus. And this guy just stuck his hand up and said, I spent 14 years in seminary. I sat under one of the most influential pastors on the East Coast for how many years? And I was sitting there thinking, you did all that and you didn't get born again? Because you obviously do not have the witness of the Holy Spirit in you when you decided to be a Muslim. Not all churchgoers are born again. Not all churchgoers are part of the body of Christ. They're churchgoers. They just go in there and get a gold star on their poster and call it good for the day. The body of Christ are the people that are washed in the blood, set apart for God's purposes. That'll be you. When you get born again, you become the body of Christ. You are the church. This building is going to go away. But you've been builded upon a foundation that was set by the apostles, with Jesus being the chief cornerstone. That's you. That's you. You're precious in God's eyes. Take up the name of Jesus and be bold in it. Use the name of Jesus for everything. It's not a good luck charm. It's one of the most powerful weapons that God has ever given anybody. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you for that name. We praise that name. We worship that name. We honor that name. We thank you for everything that you do for us every single day. We thank you for everything that Jesus has done for us in his death, burial, and resurrection. And we thank you for everything that he is doing for us right now as our high priest, as he's making intercession for us, or literally praying for us, so that we can be in the right place at the right time, so right happenings can happen to us. And we thank you for everything that Jesus will do for us. When we see Him face to face and He completes our redemption, we praise You for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.